to get everything on there. There's gloves in the back if you want, Scott.
Huh?
I brought some gloves on if you want. There's gloves in the back if you want everything.
Yeah, I'll go wipe it.
It's 5 o'clock on March 25th, 2020. I'll bring the Board of Water Commissioners meeting to order for the Cotuit Fire District. This is Commissioner Robinson presiding with Commissioners Horsley and Hoppenstadt. Superintendent Wiseman and Jennifer Nash will join us to explain a few things. This is a little different meeting, our first in the new era of safety comes first. Chris has wiped down everything with Lysol, and we're sitting far apart, as we should. And we typically take public comment at this time. We don't see any public. If they join us later, we'd be happy to accommodate them. Anybody have any comments before we get into the agenda? The true purpose of this meeting is to grapple with some of the penalty considerations dealing with overdue bill payments and the fact that we have to get this resolved before the next billing goes out. And so Jen brought this to our attention last week, and so we rescheduled this meeting, which had previously been canceled because we already had a meeting in March, but we're going to do a little bit of business while we're here. And as I understand it, the district meeting for next month has been pushed out already. Is that true? I thought I saw something in the email today.
I have not seen that.
Oh, okay, end of May. I thought I saw something. I guess it was about the Prudential Committee. That's what it was, something like that. Okay, we have a series of minutes here. I haven't had a chance to read them. You guys haven't either, probably. You haven't read these. We haven't. No. So let's defer the minutes. I'd rather we could do that at the next meeting. We have a lot to cover. If we have time at the end of the meeting, we'll come back and read them. How's that? There are no warrants to be presented. The commissioners have done some warrant approval online. I did ask a question about the 671 Main Street that Chris will get to in his report, which would be a good time to start that now.
All right. Just so you guys have this here, I'll go through with a few things. I'll give you my report first, then I'll give you the question, answer to your question, and basically just give an update to our procedures right now for the COVID-19 procedures right now. All right, so in February of 2019, we pumped 6,977,000 gallons of water, and in February of 2020, 6,124,000 for a decrease of 853,000 gallons of water. Last month we were up 611 or something like that. So I'm pretty sure you're going to see an increase this month. There's a lot of people home. So you do a lot more when you're home. So I'm pretty sure we'll probably see it an increase, but I have no problems with that. I did have everything looked at before. Everything is in line with, as far as, calibrations to the wells, to the meters, the master meters, so everything that's coming out of there is accurate right now. I actually had a little thing with Station 4 where we cleaned it. The company that cleaned it said that they thought our meter was reading high, and if their meter wasn't working right. I had the guy in here Tuesday, and he said our meter's right on. So everything's matching the transmitter, so these are accurate measurements now.
Good. Chris, quick question. I don't know if this is a good time on pumping, but
you got to use your mic.
Oh, yeah. Thinking about the high ground golf course that we spoke about briefly. I think I heard through the grapevine that, let me see if I got this right, they are on our system, but they used to not be, and they're thinking about getting off our system.
You're talking the little nine-hole here in town?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, they currently they do have a sprinkler system that is fed by us.
But the, and I think they have their own well.
They used to have their own well years ago, probably about 10 to 15 years ago. They hooked up to town water because there was so much work going into the well.
Yeah.
They figured they would up the price of admission, and they could pay for the water.
Yeah.
Now they might be reevaluating that situation.
Just wonder if that might be a friendly opportunity to look into some of our shifting over from irrigation. I just thought of it when you mentioned the pumping, and upcoming pumping season. So I'd be interested in working with you and the course, just to see if we can, you know, have a friendly
meeting.
Example.
That's fine. Give me a call, an email on it. I do know the gentleman over there, and I can talk to him a little about it with the price and all. Yeah, thank you. We didn't have any services or replacement services put in last month. As I mentioned last month, we do have a schedule going. I believe the third, over the weekend of the 3rd of April, we'll be draining the Santuit tank. And they're going to come and clean the inside, do a washout in there, get any sediment out of there. And we'll be filling that back up. And after that, they're going to have a lift delivered here, and they'll start power washing the following week, it looks like, the week of April 6th or the following for West Street to have that cleaned.
How does the water get released? That's a lot of water, isn't it?
What I have to do is try to time it so that I can get it as low as I possibly can by lowering my pump rates, you know, to come on. And then when it gets down, we'll shut it down at the lowest point. And I hate to say it, at that point, we start watering. It's almost a waste. You know, it is a waste, but it's actually for us, it helps because of the sediment that could be getting mixed up inside there. We have to do it about every 5 years.
Go into a gravel trench or something?
Right now, and in the past, we put it, there's a drain down there. We have put it to the drain, but that's an awful lot of water for it to handle. Once it starts to overflow, we take a fire hose or two, run it out from the fire hydrant that's there, and tie it up to a tree and let it, it usually kinks over and splatters and goes and kind of goes out at a sprinkling hard area way.
So that's just the inside of the Santuit tank?
Correct.
Will be cleaned?
Correct.
And then the following week?
Will be the outside.
Exterior of the West Street?
Correct. Yes.
Are we just doing the exterior of that West Street tank at this point?
Yes. Well, it's not due for the inside to be cleaned, but they are going to do a sanitary survey on both.
Okay.
At the same time, a survey so that that meets my needs. They're actually doing those for nothing while they're cleaning.
What's the cost for the interior cleaning again?
Remember? I want to say it's a
ballpark.
I believe it's around $6,000. $5,000 to $6,000. I want to say.
For the
interior. But I'll verify that with you tomorrow. I just remember I had it in the budget to do it.
Yeah.
So it should be okay. The outside, as I said, ended up being like $16,900, something to that effect. And that will be paid, as I said before, out of the tank funds, the USDA funds.
Funds that we're required to put in there, right?
Correct, for the maintenance of the tank.
Yeah.
Thank you. Excuse me. A little bit on the security system. We're down to one station to turnover. We had a little work done this morning on one of the tanks. On one of the stations. There was a wiring issue, too much milliamps were coming off. It was double powered into one supply. So instead of 4 to 20 milliamps, we had 7 milliamps coming out at all time, and it would have messed everything up. Hope you understand that a lot better than I do. But the guy did come and fix it this morning. We're scheduled actually on the 6th also to start that one. They couldn't come any earlier. They had already made plans that we were going to start on Monday. But they've already made plans to do something next week, so they come in the following week. And hopefully at that point afterwards, we'll be all set. I did send out to everybody today that amendment that Russ was talking about the last time he was here. I have hard copies here. I just figured everybody would rather have, with everything that's going on, an electronic version review it. If you want, I'll make sure the guy from GHD is here to explain it the following month in April, and we can go from there with it.
Sure.
Speaking of GHD, with the current contract they have, I have a bill for $12,000 and something that I have not paid probably in a month and a half to 2 months. Since they converted Station 5 over, they gave me a large bill, and I've talked to them quite a bit about it, saying, I don't understand. This puts maybe $3,000 left in your total budget. I wasn't comfortable paying it. After talking to him many times, he said to me, it's hard because it's a, and maybe Scott, you can help me here. It's a contract bill that, here, we're going to, you pay us $76,000. They really don't, they're saying this much of it was done. There's really not a big breakdown of payment on it. So their excuse to me, what they said to me was, the other one took a lot of time working out the kinks. This is the actual cost it should cost to have everything done when we switch one over. What took them 3 days to do, I got charged $12,000 something to convert it over. Before that, I guess the $12,000 came in the previous 3 months. We were getting bills for $3,000 here, $3,000 there, and $3,000 here. So there's still $3,000 left. I'm at this point, they've told me they will not charge over the contract agreement. What I'm saying is I'd kind of like to put that forward because I've held it for so long to send it off to them to be paid, but knowing that they won't go ahead anymore. With the over the contract that we have currently with them. So I haven't submitted it to you guys because I want to talk to you about it first. Does anybody have any other ideas on that? Maybe I shouldn't do it. I've just been holding it back because it's made me uncomfortable that there's just $3,000 left and they had, at that point, three more stations to finish.
So how does that relate to the addendum? Is that totally different?
Basically, I think what they're saying is the addendum, if you look at it, I believe is around $36,000, which is $12,000 per station after that. So it talks about the extra work that went in the very beginning that used up part of that contract where there was more than they thought involved in the line system. They didn't have the schematics that they thought were going to be there that was supposed to be there. There's a list of stuff there, and I've asked him, I said, listen, you can send me all the stuff you want, but without sitting here talking to somebody, they're not going to go for it. I'm not going to be able to go in there and convince them. I'd rather you have somebody in here who's handled this and is actually doing the work and doing the billing, saying what to bill, to talk to everybody about. Yes?
Chris, what is our, how does the contracting work? Is it an annual contract? Is it competed once a year? Or does each task get competed? How does that work?
This contract was just the portion of their portion of the security project altogether, which has gone in probably three different phases right now. This was their portion. I'm trying to think of the word that he used on it. Is it as done, or do you know how it was?
So each project is contracted, and this is what you're asking, and this engineering company is contracted for this specific task. We do use several different engineering companies for different types of projects based on their specialty. This project was
as complete. Yeah, I think that's what I was looking for, as completion, something to that effect. I can't remember the exact word of it. Yeah.
I guess my question is, for that project, do we get competitive bids?
No. There wasn't a competitive bid on that. It was done through it was done with engineering services, with engineering services, you can use the current engineer that you have on it.
My sense is that these things, I looked at that amendment,
yep.
And it's really hard to know whether it's the right number of hours or not, because it's such a specific to the place and the technology.
Yep.
I don't think any of us could, I'll just speak for myself. I couldn't evaluate whether those hours are good or not. So therefore, I mean, my thought going forward, when we can do it, getting competitive bids is the best way to do it. Because then, if these guys are getting contracted and they're being sole sourced, there's less incentive to, you know, sharpen the pencil.
Correct.
So I don't know, and I know it's more work. I don't know how we work like a municipality where we're into 30B, Chapter 30B here?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So anything more than a certain amount?
$25,000, yeah. That we have to go out to a competitive bid, but there is a clause in there that for engineering services.
I know.
I know.
It's very. But that doesn't mean we can't ask for competitive bids.
Correct.
Again, my 2 cents would be going forward. It would be good to get as many, competitive
bids. Yeah, and this whole project started with a different engineering firm probably 10 years ago, if not more, when we wanted to put they wanted to put cameras out at stations. And at the time, they wanted to do it through radio waves.
Yeah.
And that's when we wanted to go with fiber optic and try to get it in. And it took many, many years before it finally happened. And that one is one of the things that a previous commissioner was quite adamant about. He really wanted one of these things that he'd been around with to be finished, because it ends up taking so long sometimes to get something done in a municipality between everything. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying with the competitive bit, and usually we would, if we built, like when we built the tank, it would have went out for engineering services for the tank. We did go out originally for bid, and they submitted, three different companies did at the time. So a lot of the times we do. This was a different situation where we had already had them in there that fixed the problem that we had, and they brought in some other stuff back when we had the USDA loan, that they could convert some of this other stuff into it and have things done, and they worked through and got the fiber optic put in at the same time and got it paid for through the USDA loan at that time. So that's how they kind of got involved to keep into it, because they kind of put it all together in one project and then went through the bid and had that done at the time. So they ran it through and got the companies here to do it.
So are you asking us tonight whether you should pay the $12,000?
No. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I thought you meant the amendment. Sorry. No, that's basically what I'm asking. I don't think...
So the 12,
I don't think if it came down legally, I could say, because there's still money left in the contract, I could say, no, I'm not going to pay you the $12,000. Even though I've been putting it off for, like I said, about 2 months, just to let them know that we were ticked.
Well, if it's within the budget of the tasks, for the tasks, I would pay it and just let them know that your commissioners are not very happy about any overruns.
Yeah, I've already mentioned that to him the last time, and I said, listen, I said, if I pay this, does this mean that you're just going to send me a bill for $12,000 for another thing? He said, I'm not going to send you any more than a $3,000, whatever's left. He says, we're not going to exceed our contract until if there's an amendment done, then we would, but I'm not going to without.
Are they going to be able to finish all the work that was within the contracted price?
They're going to finish the project anyways.
Okay.
No matter what happens, they've contracted to do it. They know that you really can't. We're still paying the people that are actually converting everything over. Their price has been the same, except for the one amendment that we had with them when we had to change the modems, that they were told us would be fine, but then they weren't fine. So we had to do that at one point. There was an amendment. Other than that, there hasn't been anything else. And we've been paying Command, who is the company that's doing the wiring and changing everything out. They're the ones that are spending 2 days down there, and they're a subcontractor of theirs. But we pay them directly. We don't pay them through GHD.
Any more thoughts?
Also calculated that. Average hour related, $152 an hour. That ain't cheap.
Yeah. What do you think,
Bob?
share on it.
So I think you've got some kind of consensus to move ahead with that one, but
okay.
Let them know that they better be loaded for bear in April.
Okay. No problem. Other than that, I have one more thing, and I'll do it quickly. We don't have to decide on it tonight, but we have been getting a lot of phone calls saying, there's no way I can use that much water. Jen can attest to this. There's no possible way. My sprinkler system was off all year, blah, blah, blah. A lot of people saying, I want you to come out here, and I want you to test my meter. I want you to test it now. Our policy, and to tell you the truth, I don't know where it's written, but since I've been here, and I probably tested when we had a test bench here, at the time, maybe 10 meters in my time, we've sent some out to be tested, maybe two from irate customers, and then we had, I think when we did our cost analysis, we had some tested in random places. I've talked to Ty Sales, who sells those on meters. They told me it would cost me $50 a piece to have a meter tested. Our policy always was, if it comes back and it's accurate, you pay us for the test. If it's broken, we pay for it, and we'll put a new meter in. But if it's, I'd have to have them come. I don't know. My question to you is, they've said it would cost $50, but I'm probably going to have to throw some shipping in there. I don't know if it's man hours to go over there, or should we, at this point, just waive that and say it's a $50 flat fee? I don't know what your feelings are on it. I'm trying to be as kind as I can to people.
Well, we'll talk about some of this, but isn't the easiest check to compare it to last year?
The meter?
Meter was broken the year before, too, I suppose.
Sometimes. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You're going to have to change your mic. It's turned red on you.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay. Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. It seems like there's two possibilities. If somebody says, not possible that I use that much water, there would be either be a leak or the meter's not working. Are those
correct.
Are the two? How easy is it for you to check for a leak?
Right now, it's not as easy as it usually is because everybody has their sprinkler system off or their outside lines and everything else, and most leaks occur where either in a transition from the house to a garage, from the house, you need batteries?
Oh, yeah.
How many?
No.
Or a sprinkler system, something to that effect. So I have had plans when people turn on sprinkler systems and things like that to go out and check them come springtime. I do have appointments with people that I'm waiting on them to get back here. There was one man that had a $4,000 water bill and said, there's no way I could have used that much water. He says, I have a small lot. I got to shut it down. It was turned in half because I was establishing a lawn the year before, and I didn't use that much water. I said, well, you have to have a leak in your system then. And he said, well, if I don't pay my water bill, what's going to happen? I said, I'd pay your water bill. We'll give you, if they decide to do something, that's totally up to them. I said, but I pay your water bill now so you don't get in trouble. And he did.
In your experience, how common is either a leak or a meter malfunction? Are these like, you know,
leaks are almost every time. I've never seen a meter speed up.
Okay.
I've only seen them slow down. So, you know, if you get it done, it's more than likely going to tell me your meter is at 96% accurate because it's old and worn out. There's never been a case that I know of. I shouldn't say that. We have one unexplained case where somebody jumped 100,000 gallons. But I'm willing to think that was a malfunction on the head of the meter, not the actual meter itself. And it's still up in the air if it happened or not.
My guess is that a lot of people have not been paying much attention to their water use because it's so cheap. And now that they're getting a bill that is probably still underpriced, in my opinion, but higher, you're saying can't be true. Now, I'm generalizing. There probably are some people who have leaks, although from what you're saying, unlikely a meter problem.
Correct.
So if it seems to me, you know, if you can go out and check the leaks, if people really feel strongly, then let's do that. But my guess is the majority of these cases are people just haven't been paying attention.
Yeah, and mine too. I don't think that we're going to find a meter out there that is faulty in any way. And I explained that to them, but there are a few people in town that will just keep saying, I don't care, it's got to be wrong. I don't care what you say, it's something wrong with that meter.
So, yeah, I guess what you're asking is what to do with those few people, and to me, if we're going to pay to have their meter checked, then they're going to pay if it comes back right, not
correct.
Only for the check, but for any man hours that were used to get that to the company that does the checks, as well as shipping, handling,
okay.
all fees, I would think.
Yeah, and I think I would tell them that in our experience, this almost never happens. That's why...
Has been, every time I tell them the same
really
thing.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I will tell them that, and I'll work everything into it, see how much it would cost to ship it. I'm going to think $100 flat fee then. If he's charging me $50, that's $50 labor for the guys to go in there and have it shipped. So if I put $100 flat fee, it's going to cost you $100.
Yeah.
If something's wrong with it, we'll return the $100 to you.
Yeah.
I think, okay. I just wanted to make sure that was
whatever
okay with you guys.
Yeah.
That was what we had. I was just looking for. Okay.
We're going to be talking about our guidelines. Maybe we just found something new to put in there.
Woo! All right. And that concludes what I... Oh,
can
back
you,
to the...
Can you just mention the staffing and...
Yes, that's what I was saying. Back to the procedures. Not much has changed right now. We're still in with... We're trying to keep at least two people to three people there daily. Half a day on some. We're having currently Jen's been coming in. Excuse me. Maybe I won't be coming in. No, I'm just kidding.
stay outside.
We currently the procedures we have changed. From what I explained to you, I'll just explain it for the public now. We're only handling emergencies. We're only going into houses that are unoccupied right now and haven't been occupied. In other words, we have had some turn-on requests for people. We are turning on houses, but we're not meeting plumbers there. There's going to be we have keys that will be dropped off, or if we have a key, or if a door is open, we will go over and do it. We're not going to be in a house with another person besides someone from the water department. And we don't want to go in there after somebody else has been there, really. So as long as we can go in there alone, ourselves, get everything on, we're handling those. We can still do meter readings because we can do them from the truck. We did have a leak in town, construction-made leak. Somebody ripped a water service out of the ground, which totally screwed everybody a couple days ago.
Lake Street?
Yeah, Lake Street. The guys did a great job, though, going out and making sure everything was done, still got home by 4:30. So, and it was actually a situation where one of the guys did go home. I had sent him home, said, listen, it's going to be quiet. Rather than you sit here and twiddle your thumbs right now, I said, why don't you head home? If I need you, I'll call. I don't think he was home an hour. I said, come on back. And he came back, you know, and went and did it. So there was no problem with that. The guys have no problem doing it that way. They're okay. We're still taking things by ear right now. Some of it there, but we're still trying to be as safe as we can, social distancing in there. I really don't like two guys in a truck, to tell you the truth, but we've had one truck that a guy was ill in. So we have to make sure we have that sprayed down, and it's kind of hard. What I might have to ask the guys if we do something like that is maybe we'll have to keep the truck at the water department and one guy drive in and use it instead of going back and forth to pick it up every morning. We'll have to see how it works out.
Has the state DEP issued any notices to reassure people that the water supply is not at risk?
Not. There's a They're having little kind of like the Zoom meetings that you can dial in and listen on. You can email questions to them the day before, but there are things. Most of the stuff were, what do you want us to do in the case of somebody calling in a complaint of dirty water, smelly water, anything like that? And everybody's given their experiences on that right now. Are you gonna let our ASR be late? Are you gonna let things?
Chris, I'm more worried about or interested in the public thinking that there can be viruses in the water from this.
I haven't had anybody ask me that, and they haven't put anything out saying that there could be something in the water.
No, I don't expect there should be. I just wonder if we could ask them what's the appropriate message to tell the people that.
I can check on that. Yeah.
So they don't.
I can. That could be one of my questions if we put it in there. Could you ask me if, you know, if this, in this situation? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the. Viruses that go through soil to get to the water.
The good part is, you know, we're still adding the chlorine at this point.
Yeah.
And the lime, which would kill just about anything. Right. And that's
yeah.
reassuring.
That's part of our answer. Right?
Yeah.
There is a... Actually, I started thinking about this when all this started hitting the news. And there is some pretty good guidance, actually, from George Hoyfelder, who published this under an EPA DEP grant, that we need about a 200-day... travel time between a septic system and a well to be assured that no viruses are getting through.
Yeah.
So that's been a good sort of guideline, I guess. It's not a regulation.
Right.
But as we were talking a little bit, this virus doesn't seem like it's a threat going through your gut. This is a lung.
Correct.
So I don't think this virus is a threat, but there are plenty of other viruses that are threats.
Yeah.
And so it's worth thinking about, but I don't think this one's a... My everything I've read suggests this is not a threat.
So
the drinking
and
water.
Chlorination should
plus
take
the
care.
On top of that, the chlorination. I mean, I read somewhere that that you should drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
Because if you touch your mouth and you drink, it goes in your gut and kills it.
The acid in your gut will kill it.
It's not really.
There you go.
Drinking water threat, I don't think.
But it's something that maybe DEP has something on it. Just to kind of reassure the public would be a good idea.
Yeah, I would like to put something on our website.
Yeah.
Just to reassure people that
You
know, because frankly, I'm trying to keep informed, but I get different opinions on different questions.
Probably be good to put something on the website, yeah.
Carol? Chris was there.
Yeah, I was there too, yeah.
So, he then sent out a constant contact to the Swiss Association people that we have emails for. And he'll send out another one on a regular basis. So, if you want to include something in that, just get it to the gym. Or ask, if you can't find anything, ask just how the town of Barnstable has anything from the Board of Health. That'd be the other way to go.
So, maybe both are on the website and have Jim push it out.
Yeah, Jen actually put a couple. Yeah, Jen actually put a couple things from that meeting on the website this afternoon. I mean, on the Facebook page.
People that criticize our chloriney tasty water, maybe they should
be happy.
Thank the lucky stars.
Tell them to put it in a bottle and spray everything down before they touch it.
Do you have masks in the trucks for the guys?
We have right now. We have 220 packs of the 2200 N95s. Well, 95N.
Don't tell too many people you have those.
Well, I actually offered one of them to the fire chief yesterday, and the gloves that are in the back, they're latex, which the fire department's not supposed to carry.
Right.
But in an emergency situation, we have probably 10 cases of those there. They said they'd come over and grab them. He actually asked me, too, if just looking at possibilities if they get down to where they have to stop their staff. He's told me that they're going from 3 to 4 people starting Friday. They actually have introduced a deputy chief who is there one day and the chief is there the next so that they're not in the building at the same time. They stagger off, and they're going from 3 to 4 guys for 3 days a week instead of the 3 guys 4 days a week, so that if one guy goes down, they'll still have the manpower to keep a shift going. And according to him, there was one patient 2 nights ago brought in that had all the symptoms. The ambulance had to bring into the Cape Cod Hospital. So they have started to see it.
Chris, I had one other question on sort of this contingency planning. I think we had a brief email around on it. Just that we're a small department.
Yeah.
You got to go to D.C. The assistant super gets sick. things start looking scary. Could you just take a minute and clarify? I don't remember the answer. What our arrangements are with, like, this neighboring, like, Comm. Comm's got a lot of people, right?
Comm does, yeah. Comm has approximately...
So we need to get one of their assistant supers over to help out. Is that a sure thing, or...?
I have joined a group called Mass Warn, I think it is, and it's basically a mutual aid group.
Yeah.
I joined it the day that we started getting the different... It's an over and above, just to get backup. So if I needed equipment from someplace else, Comm is part of that also. It's a suggestion that DEP kind of put out to everybody so that everybody can help. Besides that, I still have got the phone calls from the Mashpee superintendent, Barnstable. I have not heard from Craig, but Craig's never denied us anything over in Comm. They kind of know through the association that we have Barnstable County Water Utilities Association. Okay. Everybody that needs something, we throw a blast out to everything and boom, someone calls up, give me a call, I'll give you this, give you that, and it's always been that way. There isn't a written contract, so the toughest part might be that, you know, no, I need my guys, you're not taking them. At this point, I'm down too. That might be the hottest part. But if everybody's healthy, I don't think there's a problem with helping out in an emergency situation. And there's usually really not anything that can't be handled here. If anything, it would be a filing issue. If something happened to me and to the assistant superintendent right now, the guys can handle the day-to-day operations. They do it on weekends. They're very bright. They both got the licensing. Jen can keep firing things at them. There you go. You guys do this. You guys, just like she does to me. So, you know, it keeps everybody in line. So, yeah.
I think if you're going to ask these guys to go anywhere, you got to make sure we have plenty of masks and gloves in their trucks. And I like the idea of limiting one guy per truck if you can.
Okay. Sounds good. As I stated right now, we've been going with the two guys, one guy in, one guy out. And actually, the hardest part of that will be that when somebody's on call, they need the truck for the week.
Yeah.
So it might just have to be we'll have to see at that point. Yeah, at that point, and at that point, they can take my truck if they have to. You know, if it gets to that point where it needs three people or something to that effect, I can have them use my truck just for travel reasons.
I know some of the other utilities are doing that. They brought trucks in from supervisors for field guys to use.
Okay.
If you need to do that.
Yeah.
I will say when I went in early last week and asked Chris this kind of question, he was already on top of it. I was very impressed. So.
Yep. Good.
Okay. Anything else on that? I'd like to move to the main business, which is talk about the penalties, because this is a new year, kind of a transitional year. It's to be expected, and as it was expected, we have people receiving sticker shock. Jen's here to explain to us what she's seeing and some recommendations that she might have as to how to deal with penalties.
Hi,
with the changes in the billing structure, we are now billing.
It was on.
With the new billing structure, we bill 10 out of 12 months now. So there are some limitations with the billing system as well as our new schedule of billing. So it's important that we address this sooner rather than later, because not only were we getting calls, concerning calls about, you know, how am I going to pay my bill, can I set up payment plans and things like that, now with COVID-19 and people facing financial insecurity, we're getting a few more calls of, you know, how are we addressing this, are we making any accommodations. So I'm here tonight looking for guidance from all of you on how to respond to some of these calls. In your packet, there's a little one-pager report where I've noted, and this is as of 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock today, so this is as up to date as you can possibly get. Yep, a little one-pager. There are five accounts in what we call the NPEN status. So there's like an extra info field in the database where I can put this NPEN delineation in, and it will prevent that account from getting a penalty. There are six accounts in that status right now. I've listed those six for you, and I've listed the reason why. One was a genuine mistake from an elderly gentleman in Naples who forgot to put the decimal point in when he sent his e-check in, and it sent us a check for $36,000. We have shredded that check, and he is sending me in a new one, so in good faith, I have agreed, obviously, that we will waive his penalty until that check arrives, which I'm expecting will be shortly. I have three people who are making consistent monthly payments to pay down their bill that was higher than they were expecting. They have agreed that, you know, obviously it's their bill, they're going to pay it. Can I do it under a payment schedule? Did you have a question?
Sorry?
Did you have a question? You want me to stop?
I'll wait.
I have one that's in a state account that's in probate, and they don't have access to the funds right now, but they have assured me that those funds will be released in 2 to 3 months. And the last one is the resident that we are dealing with a dirty water complaint with, who was current as of December and just has not paid this one yet, but has sent some additional communication, still concerned with the quality of her water. So those are six that we, as a department, not necessarily as a board, but as a department, have agreed that should get some consideration in waiving their penalty. I ran the penalty report today. There are 240 accounts on that report for a total of $8,170.20 of penalties to be assessed. We had projected $4,000 in penalty revenue to the treasurer, so obviously, once we make a decision tonight, we'll communicate with the treasurer what that financial impact would be. And Tom, to address your concerns, I know you had some concerns about quote-unquote repeat offenders or people that are typically late with their bill, that an increase in fees or now this COVID-19 issue wouldn't probably have affected these people to begin with. They're typically behind. So I went through the report and identified the number of accounts with balances that have more that are more than 365 days past due, people that would normally become part of our lien process as we approach May. Many of those people pay the bill when they get the lien letter. There's maybe 16 of them, less than 20, that come down to the final lien notification that gets sent to the town. So I've tried to break this down in many pieces so you can kind of get a feel for what we're looking at as far as numbers go.
So 42 is included in the 240.
Correct. Of those 240, 42 people have a balance that's more than 365 days past due.
Question? Now, could you explain, maybe you did, maybe I missed it, how the penalty works? Like, is it after X number of days, then so much percentage?
So we run in billing cycles. We have the minimum use bill and the penalty run, and then an excess use bill and the penalty run in each of the 6 month periods now. When the bills are issued, they are due 60 days from date of issue. So these bills issued on January
pay it the next time another 10%?
No. Just one time.
Okay, so, okay. So there's less incentive to pay it if you don't. You know? He has a lien, right. That's what,
so
that's probably what pushes, yeah.
Speaks to the urgency of this meeting,
right.
And that
the one coming up now is the excess use bill, and then that will be due 60 days from March 30th.
No, no, the penalty bills were issued February 21st, and they're due 60 days from date of issue. They were due March 20th.
Okay.
The next billing cycle will be the minimum use bill. Okay. Those will be issued dated March 30th, due 60 days from now, so that's the end of May. Push that minimum use bill out much further, we're going to be running into the next excess use bill. States are going to start with the last one.
So this is actually the smaller bill.
This is the excess use bill that they received in January.
Right.
So this is the highest bill that they will receive because it's from what they used in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Right, as it relates to the penalty bill. The next bill that we are issuing $50.
The next bill, which is coming on March 3rd.
Yeah. Correct. So then, once those bills go out, you still have 60 days before the system gets clogged up.
Right. So you have to run the bills in order. You have to run the excess use bill, then the penalty bills on the excess use bill, then the minimum use bill, then the penalty bills on the minimum use bill. Then we enter the reading of the bill down so the excess bill is kept. So if we push this decision out too far and push the minimum use bill out too far, we are our 60-day meetings are going to start overlapping the next bill and cycle. From a clerical standpoint.
So why are we not just following the standard procedure?
That's exactly why it is for guidance.
Okay. So the only reason there would be a deference is because some people are stressed right now.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid concern. I think my suggestion was going to be we should offer some flexibility to people. I mean, it's pretty consistent with what's happening at the federal and state level. Feds and states pushing the taxes off for a few months. You know, I think it seems like the right thing to do, but I guess my question is, does this put us into a cash flow situation? No.
No. And we were anticipating $4,000, it says here, in excess penalties.
Yeah.
It's going to be a loss of $8,000, so it's going to be the $4,000 plus $4,000 that we wouldn't be getting. So we'd be in the hole for, but we're also up the $129,000 of anticipated debt from the overage. So it kind of absorbs what we put out in excess money right now. Kind of, I would think, absorbs it. We're still under what was estimated if we do this. Correct.
Because we had estimated $500,000 of billing on the excess use bill run, and that's what we had communicated to the treasurer. When we ran the bill with the actual usage, we billed $126,000 higher than what we projected. We spent some data to the treasurer on that, so we're aware that there's that. But yes, we had projected $4,000 in penalty revenue. If we move forward with it, $8,000
Yeah.
Can you put the excess use late fees, this 8,000 penalties, into the March, which will be March, it will make June excess. Can you just put that into the excess fees for June right now? And say, you know, we're going to delay it, but we'd like to see it before June. And then if we don't see it then, and you haven't given us adequate reason why you need this,
then you get the penalty.
Then you get not only that penalty, but I'm going to add the basic use fees as well if you didn't pay those. No?
I will say no right now because, although I have run the list and I know what the penalties should be, there's no reason I can't manually enter 240 penalties.
Right.
Once you move past that penalty billing period and you run bills for minimum use, you can't go back and systematically calculate and produce and print those bills. So it will all have to be done manually.
Okay. So it's the physical process of getting the bills printed.
So what about a one-time reduction in the 10% down to 5%? Is that an accommodation?
It is. How many people have called to say, I'm having a hardship here, I've been laid off, I can't make my bills right now, I can't pay the penalty, I'm struggling. Anybody?
That's what she has here,
is
basically. The people, yeah. Correct. For... Maybe I didn't get that phone call. Maybe it was Sean, yeah.
I had one message.
Good one.
I got a phone call today from somebody that asked if we had ways to pay online still. And I'm like, well, even if you pay right now, you're late. But no, we don't. I apologize, but we don't. And I said, you could always stop by. She says, no, I can't from here. I can't swing by. So apparently they're from out of town someplace. So they told me I have to be in check in the mail then, right now. But I said, hopefully soon we should have that process still. Jermaine and the treasurer and Jen have been working on it quite a bit. It goes in waves, and right now nobody's really working from the fire department, so I don't know how quick things will be done now, but we'll jump right back into it once things get done on that also.
And do you send out like reminders to people, or how do you, like, you know, that are in the situation? Are they getting some sort of a notice that they're in a penalty situation?
I'm just going to quickly say, when we do the lien list, we put a lien list here. That's basically telling everybody they have time.
Yeah.
Jen, in the past, has put that lien list to you guys a few times before it's gone to lien, and I'm not downing the previous office manager, but Jen started making phone calls to people just to remind them, and she did this on her own.
Yeah.
It's not a policy that we have, and she's actually got the list down where we used to send in 40 to something people or whatever it was down. I think you said it was 16 last year. Yeah. So, I mean, she has done a great job doing that, but that's just voluntarily. When she had a little free time, she would investigate people's phone numbers to that effect. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I guess my thought is, as I said before, I think there's some validity to recognizing the crisis, but I don't think it should add a lot of work to you guys. I think if there's a way to do it where either on a case-by-case basis, if somebody contacts you and say, hey, I just lost my job, blah, 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 because I can't go to work, then you ought to be able to accommodate that person. So maybe do it on a case-by-case basis. I don't know. But it does. Yeah, I think we should do something. I think it seems like the right thing to do given what's going on and what other people are doing. But I just don't know whether you do it on a case-by-case or whether you do it as a blanket thing and send out a message to everybody saying, I'm going to give you a break. But I don't know.
So this 240 are people that weren't paying their bill
Before
this
right.
incident.
Okay, right. Well, if that's the case, then...
Right, and it's a bigger number maybe because the bills are higher. And they're harder to pay.
and their minds are elsewhere. Right?
Yeah.
Jen, I just have a quick question. I'm pretty sure you can, but you can back out a late fee if you already assess it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I would do that. I'm in favor of that. And I'm like I said in an email to you, I think it's like it's your judgment. You have great judgment. You know, if you get a phone call from somebody, if you get an email from whatever you decide, it's
I mean, you've already shown compassion by letting people do monthly payments. Not everybody should be allowed to do monthly payments, but, this is a transition year. This is the year when people are recognizing the truer cost of water, and it's going to make them think twice next year about using so much water because they realize how much they spent this year on it. And here we are in an economic and health emergency. But I don't think that the policy itself should change. I think there should be individual accommodations, as you've already made in six instances. So, so if it's waiving the late fee for extenuating circumstances related to this crisis, I think that's fine. And nobody can carp that we're not getting every last nickel out of the ratepayers. We're doing very well with revenues this year. So, I guess
is there a vote or a consensus here? Do we need a vote? I think the consensus...
I think we're just following right now procedure that we've had in place for many years, and we're not going to be changing it at this point.
Yeah.
I just, with you saying that, the only thing is I believe that you should be able to let Jen and I have that deciding factor right now, or she always has had the deciding factor. We talked about some of them, but she knows what my feelings are towards it. That I guess I don't know if I want you really to make something saying, hey, you guys handle it, don't bring it to us unless you guys can't make a decision.
No, we'd back you up. I don't want you calling 240 people.
No. All right, I think we know we're standing there then. I do have two questions or two people that I'd like to ask. Oh, go ahead.
I think I had sent you some legalese wording on an email about, you know, if they want something in writing from us, just make sure that you include something about this is due to extenuating circumstances. It should not be taken as past practice or precedent of the department to do this, something along those lines. If they want something in writing.
Okay. Just to bring up, because Jen and I were talking about it tonight, and it seems we're talking about late payers and everything else, we do have two residents in town that no matter how many times we send them a bill, we get it back in the mail. There's people living at the houses. One of them we haven't got a payment from in 12 years. One of them we haven't got a payment in the last 3 years. They still use water.
Do they pay their property taxes so that their property's on lien and they're paying for their water through the town?
We have done many investigations trying to find location of one of these people in town. I have called the tax office. I have called the town of Barnstable Assessor's office, and they said, if you can find one, let us know.
Every year, you're sending them another lien?
Yes.
For an additional amount each year?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So when do we shut their water down?
That's my question to you. We have never had, you guys have the authority, and the water department does, for non-payment. We've never gone through that route to do it. We've always gone to lien. I'm kind of asking, if I put a notice on these doors saying if your water department is not notified in a week with a current address or something to that effect, the water will be shut off as of this date.
So it's been a policy.
It's an occupied house.
Yes.
Do you have irrigation?
One, correct. They are. One of them is occupied, and it's. I believe he might even get some money. I can't. Yeah, I don't know who's living there, but it's not the owner.
Do we know what the legality is? You said we have the authority to do it. I really don't know. It strikes me as almost like a public health kind of thing. And I'm wondering.
It could be. I could give my friend Craig over in Calm who does it. They shut water off for, if you do not make your payment, they shut it off.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be inclined to do that to somebody, because that's going to catch their attention.
The one thing that they do is they have a police officer to go out with them when they shut it off. So
and at the office when they come in and pay the bill.
Right.
Yeah. Where do you actually shut it off? In your basement?
At the street.
Oh, at the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
We would shut it off. We would send the guys out one day before, maybe 1 to 2 days before, and dig up the curb stop, make sure there's a flag on it, just another reminder that it's coming, and then would not go out till the 2 days before or 3 days before. I mean, the day of the ending.
And what would you want them to pay, 12 years worth?
No. No, what I would like is a current address so the mail does not get returned to us, so we know that it's going to somebody.
And the address
to change the
meter.
We have...
So the town inside the house.
Yes, and we'd like to change the water meter at one of the houses because it's over 2 million gallons. And it's on an old system. We still have to go up to the and enter the prop and enter on and read it off the side of the building. It's not even a radio read.
I got a silly question.
I'm wicked curious.
Who it is?
You and many others.
So the town tax collector, the assessor, doesn't know the answer.
No. They haven't been able to, and I've even, I don't, I've tried other means, and I haven't been able to find them. Jen and I have both, we've done internet searches, we've sent it to different places, and it's come back unclaimed, registered letters.
Well, it sounds like they think they've got it squared away forever. We're not going to shut the water off?
They got an ideal situation. I'm not really sure how, but they have one.
And why, I guess, why wouldn't you get the 12 years of...
We have the 12 years of returned mail.
No, why wouldn't you... you guys had a little...
Well, you would get it eventually, but, you know, if the house never sells, there's no incentive to ever pay the lien. Somebody could inherit that house, and the lien wouldn't be applied.
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, I mean, because there's no changing of hands. There's no... just runs by the will to the next generation.
Oh, I see.
So there's a lien carry with the time.
Yeah.
So why don't we send the notice to shut off the water? But I would think we'd want to get the 12 years of revenue.
Well, we would.
To turn it back on.
Only, well.
I don't know if we could even get it at this point because it gets written off to lien.
Yeah.
When I go buy a hamburger, I have to pay them before I get the hamburger.
Well, I think eventually it would become a public health issue if you can't flush your toilet.
Yeah.
Right?
And I would think that they could call their landlord and tell them that the water got shut off. They should talk to us.
That's why, yeah.
Are they rentals?
Yes.
Are they rentals?
I don't know. I know that there's people living there. I don't know. It could be family. It could be... I've already probably said too much.
You know, there's another thing besides registered letters. You can hire a deputy sheriff to serve them, serve the letter to them.
So that's also part of the way that we have done a policy discussion on whether we get to it or not. But in that policy, is the language from the governing document for the Board of Water Commission. And it does talk about our right to go in or our right.
It's all very well to have that policy, but I would want the district attorney to help us serve that notice.
The intent to shut off.
Yeah, make sure it's worded correctly. But I don't. You have to do something with somebody with a 12 year. That's
yeah. Yeah. I would move to shut them off. But I would call
the proper
Mr. Boudreau or somebody just to make sure that our policy, you're reading our policy, right? Just to make double sure that we do have the right to do that.
And the proper means right now has to be going to post something to the door or having something handed to them through that way.
Well, the deputy sheriffs are hired just to do that,
okay?
So you pay a fee, they serve whatever you're delivering to the people, and then they have proof that they put it in their hands.
Whose hand are we putting it in?
They could be putting it in the hands of our residents.
Right, right. Yeah. We don't even know. You can't find out who the responsible party is.
Well,
we know a name. We just don't know where they live or an address of them.
We know the homeowner on record.
Yeah.
Correct.
Some kind of certified mail or the sheriff thing and shut them down. We might hear from them.
We've tried the certified mail. I can tell you that right now. They do not. They do not respond to the certified mail.
No, I'm saying you got to do the warning.
Right.
Shut it down.
Yeah. Notice to the residents.
Yep.
The domiciled residents here. We're going to shut this water off because whoever is responsible for the bill hasn't taken that responsibility seriously for 12 years.
Yeah. Crazy.
And so now we have to shut your water off, and we also have to replace your meter.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, here's the name of the owner.
That's what we're looking for.
So, you know, I don't know what else we can do.
Yeah, we got to do something on that. Let's do it on the 12-year person first, and then we'll see how that goes. Do it on the three-year person.
All right, we'll talk about it in the morning. I'll talk to Mark.
Yeah.
The commissioners need to sign that, or can the superintendent?
I believe that I can sign it under the authority of you, especially if you make a motion to give me that authority.
So we will have a motion to instruct the superintendent to serve notice in a legal fashion in accordance with our policy after review by our legal counsel, to serve the notice, give proper warning for that 12-year delinquent, and give us a report at the next meeting.
Second that.
Well, you make the motion. I was just giving it.
Oh. You can make it.
So you say so moved.
So moved.
And you say?
I'll second that.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimous.
Will do.
All right. And we're not going past 6:30, so if you want to get into the general policies, we've deferred this a long time because it's something that's important, not urgent. If there are parts of it that are urgent, then Jen and Chris should let us know. And we'll deal with those tonight. So this is the general policy and leak adjustment policy, and I just had it here. Where did I? Here it is. So what this was Jen retyped because the original policy was done by a typewriter. So she's now put it into an electronic form. We can actually edit things. So that's good. And I had given her a few just minor comments, mostly grammatical, this summer or fall. Have the commissioners had a chance to read this? If not, I'm going to defer it again.
Yeah.
And we'll do a minute.
I haven't had a chance.
Okay. Well, let's defer it again, Jen, unless there's something on here you want us to discuss tonight.
We can.
or the 13th or the 16th?
17th. Because of the paint cleaning and having to drain and that kind of thing. So we've delayed the start of the flushing program until then. The mail will be in the March, so in the box will take care of it. We'll put the family for the final. We posted on Facebook. We posted on our webpage.
So the issue last year that we heard critiques on was what do I do as a homeowner during the flushing? And that's the information. So it's not just the flushing is occurring, but how does it affect me? What do I care? Go ahead and flush. What do I care? It affects me because it has to do with the water then coming back through my house. So how do we make sure that some of that information is getting out?
So we did include some of that.
I think it would be good to put, if you can get a brief note on the sandwich board, because my guess is the vast majority of people see that sign and they say, okay, so what? What is, you know, like you're saying, no idea. So I think, you know, see website for your responsibilities or see something to...
How does it affect me?
Right.
Or even if it's...
Visit Couture
Water.
Yeah. Do we, and I asked you last year, I don't think you said it was possible, but can we notify neighborhoods when they're part of the system that's being flushed or not?
There is capabilities to do that, but it's more money. We're not part of the Blackboard system. I think the town of Barnstable is part of what they call the Blackboard system. It's kind of like a reverse 911.
So just even moving the sandwich boards into those neighborhoods, or extra sandwich boards, maybe.
Next location, yeah. We have a few people that call up and say, I got caught in doing a load of white last year, and it's now a load of brown, or something to that effect. Could you please let me know when you're getting close, because I can't let that happen. I have this going. Yeah.
They do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they do as they're going into, like, say they go into a development.
Presidential.
They post it there as you're going in the presidential. Right. Flushing in this area, you know, as they're going. If they're putting it on Putnam Ave, you're entering Flushing right now.
Yeah.
So, and the problem that we've had in the past is people have, thank you, and ran off with them.
So the usually, yeah, oh yeah, people, it's the weirdest thing. The littlest things people will grab, I can't believe. But,
sandwich boards.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Just little, you know, boards that were brought up. But yeah, usually we do, we have on there, you're entering a flushing area, check, we had a guy put them together years ago. Some of the letters have fallen off. I call him up and he puts them on usually for nothing. Or the guys take out black tape and make their own numbers. So you could see that even on there.
Does our billing software, does it have any sort of a field for emails for contacting people?
Yes.
And can you email from that list where everybody gets a CC or a blind CC or whatever?
Isn't it just certain people in certain neighborhoods that really need to even think about this anyways? Isn't it? Just where you're doing the flushing? I mean, how many people does this really affect?
Even if they're summer residents and they come down after we flush, it may have changed things in their line they want to run.
Depending if they have a sprinkler system, depending if they have an ice maker, depending if their heating unit decided to suck some hot water in at the time because it was cold. There's chances that it could happen just about to anybody as it's going by. As I stated, with the leak that we had 2 days of complaints from some residents on air in the line because the way we was just situated over in there, air went beyond the hydrant. There's no way when we turned it back on, we were either going to flood the street out and residents, or we're going to have to turn it off. So when we turned it off, everything came down out. So then when they refilled it, all the air went up the end of the line, but it was beyond the fire hydrant. So there's no way really to get it back, to get it out. So when they thought everything was out, some people in real long services turned on their faucet, and they had cloudy water that when you start gurgling like that, it starts kicking up and making dirty water. So it went on, and some people got some phone calls last night. Yesterday, during the day, we got some this morning still. So it went on for about a good day and a half, and all we can tell them is we're not entering right now to go into your house. You don't want us in your house right now. Unless you can tell me that you know there's a way to get in from outside and I can go in there with fully masked up and everything else to remove a meter and try to flush it off. There's no other way unless you do it through your house right now.
Right or wrong.
So you got to let it go through your kitchen faucet or your tub or something to that effect, and it's a lot more water than people really want to run at times. They're like, we did it. You know, I ran it for 5 minutes. It's still got air in it. Wait a little while and do it again. That's the only answer I can give right now. I apologize to them, and everybody was pretty good about it.
Okay, I'm going to shut this meeting down, and we will defer the minutes to next meeting. Everybody, that's your assignment to read those, to review the guidelines. And I'd also like to encourage you to come forward with 3 tasks that should be part of our business plan for this year. So we talked a little bit about this last time, priorities, strategic priorities that we would like to see done for the next 12 months.
For 2021?
Well, for the next 12 months. Yeah.
You put that on the agenda, strategic plan for the next meeting?
Yeah.
Discussion?
Yeah. Okay. And I don't want to forget Commissioner Horsley with his irrigation. I think you've submitted some thoughts, Scott. Is it is it ready to be publicly presented? And
yeah, I can. There were a few edits I could still make to it, but I think it's pretty close. Yeah.
We also talked about doing some more educational efforts through perhaps the Civic Association. I don't think we're going to have many meetings like that in the near future.
Yeah, right.
But that would be a good way to get some of that information
sure.
out. So that sounds like a lot for the next meeting, and we probably won't get to it all, but we'll do it in that order, okay? Because I want to get these guidelines done. It's not that complicated. We just got to get it focused on. Why don't you get his contact information to Commissioner Horsley and let him talk to him if he wants to. This isn't anti-irrigation. It's just anti-municipal water for irrigation.
No, what the policy says is if you're going to irrigate, you should be using a rain sensor-based system,
correct?
Instead of just turning it on at 6 a.m., whether it's raining or not, that's what
right.
we want to get rid of.
Correct.
And I'm sure this guy is going to promote, I'm guessing, he's going to be promoting that kind of technology.
Not only that, but wind sensors and daylight.
Yeah. And then the other component really is to encourage people to think about getting onto a private well as an option if they want to.
Right.
And some other advantages.
Okay. is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are we still meeting on 422 or not?
We're going to try.
Okay.
Yeah. All those in favor of adjourning the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned at 6:30. Thank you.